The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. The disciples were on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed at those who followed, and they were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He replied, What do you wish me to do for you? They answered him, Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right, one at your left. And Jesus said, You do not know what you are asking for. Can you drink the chalice that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We can. Jesus said then, The chalice that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right and my left, that is not for me to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. So Jesus summoned them, and he said, You know that those who are recognized as rulers over Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority felt. It will not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of the Lord. Here we have Jesus offering what I call his game plan, or his call, his plan, and his promise. He calls the disciples to him. They go through all of their sometimes tedious training for a period of time, and then they're present when Jesus is making major decisions. In this particular scripture, what he does essentially is he recognizes that they've been called to be with him, and they recognize the fact that they were called. And then he says, here's the plan that I'm working with, and I want to share this with you, my closest disciples. And then he goes on to talk about going to Jerusalem, suffering, eventually dying, and then rising from the dead. And there's no doubt that the hearers, his disciples, were terrified. They had no idea what this meant, but what they did want to do was to make sure they were in on the game, so to speak, particularly the two brothers, James and John. Now, this is nice because they're off asking for this themselves, not through their mother, which is the case in other places in the scripture. They say to him, Jesus, we want to be with you. We will do all the things you want us to do, and then we want a reward, and the reward we want is to sit at your left and your right. Jesus says to them, I don't think you realize what you are asking for. I don't think you realize the consequence of what I'm doing, coming into the world with this very kind of revolutionary idea, certainly countercultural. And so he says to them, you know, I just think you need to reconsider what you're about. You will do those things. I told you that. You will be with me. But I'm not going to tell you at this point that you're going to be sitting at the top of the ranks. You have to, in a sense, you have to earn that, and you earn that by doing what God's will is for you, and you'll discover that more and more as you serve more and more. But that's the key. You're going to find out where you belong in that kingdom by basically how much you've served, how much you've lifted the burden of suffering and pain off the shoulders of others. He reminds them again that what he's asking them to do is extraordinarily difficult. And yet there is a promise of hope in all of this. And he realizes that the people he's called and to whom he's given this plan are not quite ready to understand. And if they do understand, they're not not quite ready to commit. How many times is that the case with us? We pretty much know what we ought to be doing. We commit ourselves to it, and then we're not quite sure this is the right time. We're not quite sure that we're prepared, and so we keep preparing and preparing until sometimes the need is passed, and all of a sudden the burden is lifted, not because we did anything about it, but because we ignored it. In any event, what Jesus says to them is, I want you to realize that that this promise that I'm going to give you, the reward in the sense of following me, of suffering with me, of doing the kinds of things that I do, being maybe separated from your families and your friends, is that you're going to be my disciples, and you're going to help me overturn the ordinary way of dealing with reality. You're going to help me, in a sense, revolutionize this culture. You're going to help me bring the message of the gospel, bring the message of the teaching I've given you to all of the people. And that's the real task. And you need to modify your own take on that, see it as a reward, but not a reward that gives you leisure or pleasure or status. What you have to realize is what it's doing is asking you to do more than the next person, and more helping people, more forgiving people, more loving in your behavior so that they recognize you by all of those acts of love and so forth. It's not going to be an easy life, and he reminds them that it's not going to be an easy life, and yet he tells them that this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be partners with me to walk through this difficult time, pay the price, and to help me, in a sense, save the world. That's the call, that's the plan, that's the promise. The disciples at that point have to make a decision. Are we going to accept this, walk with him, accept the suffering, and in a sense offer it up for the needs of the people? Are we going to offer ourselves in leadership roles and then pay the price of what that means? It's not easy to be a leader. It's not fun to be a leader. It's difficult to be a leader because it requires an awful lot of things of us that sometimes other people don't have to provide. So Jesus is saying this call, which is given to you, this plan, which is difficult, very, very difficult, painful, and will probably bring all of you, or at least most of you, to your death, is what I ask you to do with me. And what do I promise? I promise that you will find your proper place in heaven. Is it going to be at my right or my left? That's not for you to know. That's for whom it is prepared by the Father. But you will be there with me at some point. And with that companionship, that partnership which we've shared for the last few years, will be enhanced and glorified. But only because we recognize that we've been called, we pay the price of the plan, which means living a life of Christianity. The time between the call and the reward is the plan. And that's what I'm asking you to do, to do what I do during that time of your leadership, and then move from that position of leadership to a position of partnership and with me in life after death, with me and the Father and the Spirit. And it's up to the disciples to make that decision. Are they going to do this or not? Push that ahead a few thousand years, and that's us. I mean, we're called. There's no question about that. We're given a pretty clear plan of our Christianity. We're told what it means to basically love ourselves, love our neighbor, and love God. And then our reward is that you will be with me in my kingdom, not your particular place. He tells us in other places in the scripture, there's plenty of room. Don't worry about that. What's important is that you're going to be doing those things with me and for me in my name, so that when it comes time for you to receive your reward, you'll be ready to sit with me in that heavenly kingdom. It's a beautiful proposition, and it's one that certainly attracted and still attracts many. but it's also not without its consequences. It's difficult. It costs us a lot in terms of our energy, our time, our freedom sometimes, lots of things that lots of prices we have to pay in order to make this a happy time for us. So remember, those of us who are here, we're here because Jesus called us. We know what we have to do. Now the decision is up to each one of us. If you're going to sit with me, no matter where that sitting is, do what I've done, teach what I've taught, live the way I've lived, and then I welcome you into this heavenly kingdom.